Please pray with me. Dear Lord, may this message not be my message. May the words not come from me, but may they come from you. May they serve your purpose and give you glory. Pray this in your name. Amen. We're in the second week of our current sermon series called Bless This Home. This is a sermon series where we are looking at the Beatitudes, those sayings that Jesus gave us during the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And the Beatitudes mean blessedness. It's those things Jesus said, blessed be the, and then the blessing that they will receive. I think they're applicable to all of us, but to all time and for a lot of reasons. But we're going to look during this series at what can our families learn? What can our homes learn? What can we as believers, not just so that we might be blessed within our homes, but so that we might be blessed outside of our homes and within this church family, those sayings, blessed be the pure in heart, which is today, those things that we can learn from that can help us to grow. And they're wonderful sayings of Jesus that he gave us. We're going to actually look at four over the four-week series. And I do get to lift up one called, it's Matthew chapter 5, verse 8. And Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. We'll talk about that seeing God here in a little bit. But what does it mean to be pure in heart? That seems like an impossibility in today's world, doesn't it? We can't possibly be pure. What does God mean? What does Jesus mean by being pure? Can any of us be pure? Well, Jeremiah said, or God told us through Jeremiah, he said, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. Can we be pure in heart? No, we can't. We can't be pure in heart. We have an inability. It's impossible for us to keep our own hearts pure. Without Christ, there is no such thing as a pure heart. But with Christ, all things are possible, including having a pure heart. Some of the worst advice, I think, that I've heard is, which the world will say, is, you know, if it feels good, do it. You know, follow your heart. If you got a question what to do, just follow your heart. That is about the worst advice we can possibly give somebody. Because if we follow our own hearts, we will go down the wrong path almost every time. Because it said, our hearts are deceitful. Our hearts are wretched. Our hearts are full of grossness. Our hearts aren't going to help us much. But we're called to have pure hearts. Jesus says, pure in heart will see God. Here's what Paul said. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity. That sounds like the world today. They were darkened in our understanding. We have hardened hearts, which keeps us from truth, keeps us from seeing, keeps us from the will of God. But during this series, we don't want to just talk about Christian families. You know, we all come from a Christian family. In fact, if you ask most people that you know in the world, wherever, those probably 80, 70, 80% will say, yeah, I'm from a Christian family. I grew up in a Christian family. You know, we're Christian. But that's not what we're after. That's not what God calls us to be. God calls us instead to be Christ-centered homes. We are called to have homes, to build homes, to raise families that have Christ in the center of it, all of it. And the way we raise our kids, and the way that we make our incomes, and the way that we set our budget, and the way that we fill our calendars, all of it, Christ should be right there in the middle of it. That's what we're after. That's where the blessings come. So there may be a subtle difference that you hear, Christian home, family or versus a Christ-centered home. But we want this series to help us become Christ-centered homes, first and foremost. But it's tough, isn't it? Here's a saying, one of the Psalms, Psalm 119. I think it's kind of a mantra that we can adopt. It says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. How can our young stay pure? How can they stay on the path of purity? It is about impossible. I thought it was tough when I was growing up. It is a million times more difficult for our youth today. They can't. There's so much distraction, so much that they're hearing from other people in the world. They can't stay on the path of purity. Our young people need families to help them learn how to have hearts that are pure. So I've adopted this Psalm 119 to change it a little bit. Here's the new version. How can our family stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. We will seek you with all our hearts. Do not let us stray from your commands. Do we approach this idea of purity in heart, or searching after purity in heart, as a family, as a group effort, as a communal effort, even within the family of this congregation? Our kids are in trouble. Our kids are hopeless without the body of Christ, without learning about what does it mean to even have a pure heart? Why does it matter? But God said, the heart matters. The heart is critical. If we're to create a culture of purity in our homes, in our church family, here's three things that we need to do. The first one, we need to get our own hearts right. As parents or grandparents, each one of us has to get our own hearts right if we're to have any hope of helping those we love have pure hearts. Proverbs says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Our heart is so important. Our heart dictates everything we do. The way we think, the way we act, the things we say, our heart matters. How do we guard our own heart? How do we protect our heart from filth and things that would cause us to lose that purity? I went to a movie. My wife and I saw the movie The Shack last week. Has anybody seen that movie yet? I know some of us have. A few, not many, raise your hand. Go see The Shack. It is a great Christian, pure, holy, awesome movie. It's pretty neat that this Christ-honoring movie has done so well at the box office. But go see it while you can. If not, get it on Netflix or DVD or wherever when you can. It is actually a pure movie. It is actually a movie that I think honors God for the most part. So I would recommend it. Yet, if I look at the previous 10 or 20 movies that I went to see, I may not be able to say so much that they were pure or that they honored God. In fact, probably most of the movies that I've seen in my life have corrupted me a little bit, have introduced filth or swayed me to think a wrong way or have helped me to lose that purity of heart. What do we consume? Or are we okay with, or do we even think about the fact that when we go to the movie theater, most of the time we're paying our hard-earned money to be entertained by sin? Do we ever think about that? Do we pay attention to what we put into our minds and our hearts? Because our hearts are easily corruptible. Our hearts are easily swayed. What are we doing to keep them pure? What are we doing about our own hearts? And then the second thing to help us to create a culture of purity is we should parent to the heart. It is tough for our young kids, our people growing up now. It is difficult for them. 1 Samuel says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. AJ touched on this during her kids' message. The Lord looks at the heart. He knows what our heart is thinking. He knows what our heart is feeling. He knows how pure our hearts are or how filthy they are. And he knows this of our kids. Do our kids know and understand, or do we even understand, that our hearts matter? Jesus talked a lot about our hearts. He said, if you have hate in your heart, then you have committed murder. He said, if you have lusted after a woman in your heart, you have committed adultery. The heart matters. Jesus was so stressed the fact that what's in our heart matters. The Pharisees, he said, you guys are like cups. You know, the cup's clean on the outside, it looks good. But on the inside, it's filthy. And the inside's what matters. He called them whitewashed tombs. On the outside, you guys look good. You guys got it down from the outside, the appearance. You're doing all the right things, saying all the right words. You look good on Facebook. But you are whitewashed tombs. On the outside, it's clean and awesome, but on the inside, it's full of dead man's bones, rotting death. Our hearts matter. How are we teaching our kids that our hearts matter? How many times, those of us who are parents or who are raising kids or already raised kids, those of us who have more than one child, and we have three, and I don't know how many times this happens, but you tell, you know, your kids get in a fight, two of your kids, and they are mean to each other, whatever, they hit each other or say something mean to each other, and you say to one that instigated it, go apologize to your brother. And that one goes, okay, I'm sorry for hitting you, you big baby. Well, they did what you asked, right? They apologized. They followed the letter of the law. But where was their heart? Where was their heart in that apology? Where was their heart in understanding what they really should have done? Why is it that our kids, when they turn 18, and I was one of them, turn 18 and they go to college for the first time, they move away from home, they have this newfound freedom. They don't have to answer to mom and dad. They can make their own decisions the way they want. How come so many of our kids fly off the deep end and abandon church, abandon everything they ever learned? Why is it? Because their hearts are not where they should be. We can teach our kids how to get along, how to obey the rules, how to work the system. But where's the heart? Are our kids' hearts pure? How do they make their decisions? And why does it matter that their hearts are pure? The third one, maybe the toughest. Pursue perfect purity of the heart. Pursue perfect purity of the heart. Well, that's impossible. How can I? There's no way to do that. Pursue perfect purity. We're called to pursue perfect purity. If we just give up, you know, what's the point? We'll never be pure. We'll never have a desire to be pure. God will never have the opportunity to make us pure. But in Ephesians, it says, but among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. There must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Not even a little bit. Not even an insy teensy little bit. None. Why do we tolerate so much? There was a 12-year-old boy who really wanted to go see the new action movie that was out, but it was PG-13. And his mom said, nope, you can't go. You can't go with your friends. You know, when you're 13, maybe you can go then. But he was 12. He said, I'm almost 13. I'm 12. Besides, there's not that much bad stuff in the movie. There's just a little bit of bad stuff. Some language, you know, some violence. It's not that bad. And mom, after arguing, said, okay, I'll let you go to the movie with your friends. But first, I want to make you brownies, because I know brownies are your favorites, and I love making you brownies. He said, good, I love brownies. So he went up and played for a little while. His mom got out the flour and all the stuff that you need and started making the brownies. And then she went out in the backyard with a spoon and went up to a steaming pile and got just a little spoonful of canine excrement. Went back in the house, took that little spoonful, put it in the brownies, mixed it in real good, put it in the oven. And then when the brownies were done, she took them out of the oven. She cut off the corner, because everybody loves the corner, took off the corner and big piece, put it in front of her son and said, come on, I made you brownies. He sits down, and he starts to eat. And she says, wait, before you eat those brownies, you need to know that there's just a little bit of dog stuff in there. And he said, what? I'm not going to eat that. How can I eat that? That's gross. What are you trying to do to me? She said, well, don't worry about it. It's just a little bit of dog stuff. So there's only just a little bit in there, just like there's only just a little bit of bad stuff in that movie. How come we tolerate so much so easily? When God says, Jesus said, pure of heart will see God. Why bother? Why bother to be pure when the world says all the time, follow your own heart, do your own thing? Because Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. They will see God. I want to see God. What does it mean to see God? Those in the pure in heart will see God. In other words, they will see rainbows or sunsets or flowers or nature with new eyes. They will see it like God sees it. They will be wowed by the beauty. They will see God working in the church, in the lives of those around them, impacting, changing hearts every day. They will see God on the faces of strangers. They will see God alive in their own lives, in their own worlds, amongst their kids and those they care about. We've heard the term, the phrase that, you know, faith is believing in what you do not see. But if we can see God, how much stronger would our faith be? If we can see God, if we can understand what he's doing in the world, if we can see it, the world through his eyes, if we can see his motivations for doing things, if we can see the end game, if we can see what happens at the end, if we can see things that only God can see, if we can see things and understand and perceive with our mind and through our spirit what it is God is doing, how much stronger would our faith be? How much more impactful could we be in raising our kids or in serving those who are less fortunate or in healing a broken heart or in proclaiming the goodness of God to a stranger or a coworker or a neighbor? If we can see God, then that means we can live our lives like Jesus. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I want to see God. I want to have a pure heart. But it's not easy, is it? Ezekiel, Jesus, God told us through the prophet Ezekiel, he said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. It is impossible for us. But if we own our own brokenness and sinfulness and get our own heart right, and we parent to our kids and we teach those around us what it means to have a pure heart, and if we as a family, as a church family, strive after perfect purity, if we pursue perfect purity with everything we have, God says, I will give you pure hearts. I will give you a new heart. And when we have a new heart, then we see things and feel things and approach life in a way that honors God. I want a new heart. I want a pure heart. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you truly are an amazing God, for you have given us something that we couldn't possibly get for ourselves. Lord, help us to embrace our pure hearts. May we be changed so that we can be a change in the world around us. And may you grow us and stretch us and mold us into your likeness each and every day. Praise in your name. Amen.